It's Friday, June 5th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. Indiana teens will soon be able to get their driver's license a little bit earlier. The Indiana Department of Natural Resources hosted a ribbon-cutting ceremony Thursday to celebrate 43 playground projects across the state. And some Indiana farmers are seeing much bigger tax assessments on agricultural buildings. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. Indiana teens will soon be able to get their driver's license a little bit earlier. WFYI's Caroline Beck reports on the change to the law going into effect on July 1st.
Teenagers currently have to wait until they are 16 and 90 days old to officially get their driver's license. The new law passed by the legislature earlier this year cuts out the 90 days, allowing teens to get their license on their 16th birthday. Teens must still complete a written test, vision test, and a driving test to earn their license. They must also hold a learner's permit for 180 days and successfully complete a driver's ed course. Teens must also submit a signed log of supervised driving they did while under the learner's permit. Governor Mike Braun said this is a common sense change and will give more families flexibility while maintaining safety standards. I'm Caroline Beck in Indianapolis.
The Indiana Department of Natural Resources hosted a ribbon-cutting ceremony Thursday to celebrate 43 playground projects across the state. WFYI's Zach Bundy has more.
People gathered on the grass next to the newly updated Shafter Playground at Fort Harrison State Park as children played in the background. Governor Mike Braun spoke about the importance of Indiana State Park improvements.
It's a golden opportunity to take something that is really, I think, unique across the country and take it to that next level.
The playground updates are funded through a Lilly Endowment grant with $11 million invested to addressing aging equipment and improve accessibility. I'm Zach Bundy in Indianapolis.
Some Indiana farmers are seeing much bigger tax assessments on barns, grain bins, and other agricultural buildings. As WFIU's Clayton Baumgarth reports, Farm Bureau leaders say the increases are driven by updated construction cost estimates.
Indiana Farm Bureau's Ryan Hoff says farm building assessments across Indiana are rising after the state updated farm cost tables.
This year's update to the cost tables the assessors use are the first to fully reflect the cost inflation since COVID.
Hoff says higher construction costs have pushed up assessed values statewide for agricultural buildings. The increases come as many farmers are already facing low commodity prices and higher input costs.
Every farmer will have invested differently based on what their operation looks like. So the more buildings you have, the harder this hits you.
Indiana Farm Bureau plans to pursue legislation next year to reduce the tax burden on agricultural structures. For WFIU News, I'm Clayton Baumgarth.
Indiana University is building a new campus in the nation's capital. WFIU's Aubrey Wright has more on IU's plans in D.C.
IU officially launched its new campus in Washington, D.C. after a private ribbon-cutting ceremony Tuesday night. The university purchased an 8-story building on Massachusetts Avenue for what it calls the Capitol Campus. The university says it's going to be a centralized location for existing programs and business ventures in D.C. Don DeMaria is the executive director of the Capitol Campus.
The new opportunities in D.C., the connections with alumni, the opportunity to live here on Embassy Row is just unparalleled, and they will leave with a network of connections, memorable experiences, and friends that will last a lifetime from that experience.
The campus includes student housing and meeting spaces. IU already has civic and political programs for students in the city. For WFIU, I'm Aubrey Wright.
Best-selling author Shelby Van Pelt, whose novel Remarkably Bright Creatures has captivated readers around the world and is now a Netflix film, spoke with me about her writing process, what the movie got right about Marcellus the Octopus, and why she believes books are a magical shortcut to deeper friendships. Today we are joined by best-selling author Shelby Van Pelt, whose debut novel, Remarkably Bright Creatures, captured readers' hearts with its unforgettable characters, its humor, and its humanity. Shelby, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, what brings you to the Hoosier State?
Well, I am doing a book talk today up in Kendallville. And it's actually, I've been doing a lot of these this spring. I've been doing a lot of events promoting the film that just came out. And this is like my last book event for the next few months. So it's kind of like, it's a little bittersweet. I love doing these things. But yeah, it's going to be really good.
I'm sure it's a little kind of maybe weird is maybe the wrong word, but it's probably pretty cool to have something that was just an idea in your mind now being widely consumed by readers. And what's that like?
Oh, it's absolutely weird. Yeah, I mean, you know, I can pinpoint specific scenes that I wrote. It's like, I remember I was sitting at my kitchen table when I wrote that, you know, and then to see it on the page published is one thing. And, you know, go to all these events around the country and talk about it. But then it's like another level when it comes out as a film and you see it on screen.
What are the major differences between the movie and the book for you?
I feel like the movie did a really good job of like sticking to the major plot points. There's not a lot of big plot difference between the book and the movie. But I think where they diverge is that there's just a lot more detail in the book. So there's a lot more like backstory on the characters. And a lot of that is like streamlined in the movie, which it kind of has to be to fit in, you know, an hour and 45 minutes.
Is there anything that the movie really got right that you just saw really come to life out of the page on screen?
Well, they got the characters right, definitely. And that was so much more important to me than is this scene for scene the same as the book. You know, they can have a lot of leeway, I think, with some of those minor plot points if they get the characters right. And they absolutely did. You know, you're not going to be able to train an octopus to act for you. So a lot of the Marcellus that's in the movie is CG. But the standard that they held themselves to was they wanted it to look real. They wanted you to not be able to tell the difference between the computer-generated octopus and the actual octopus in the movie. And I have to tell you, I cannot tell the difference. Like, it's that good.
What is your writing process like?
I feel like I'm still sort of learning what my process is. You know, Remarkably Bright Creatures was my first book. So much of the fun and the joy in writing for me is discovering what the story is. When I was writing Remarkably Bright Creatures, I truly never thought anyone was going to read it. And that's not just me trying to be humble. Like, I, you know, the odds in publishing are just like not in your favor for a debut novelist. I kind of tell myself that when I was sitting there and I would be stuck and I'm like, whatever, no one's ever going to read it, Shelby, just write it. And now I can't really say that to myself. I think there's a freedom in that not knowing how all of this works.
How else has this whole, all of the success with everything, how else has it impacted or changed you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm just so, this is truly my dream job. I feel so grateful to be able to go out into the world and do events like where I get to meet people and hear some of their stories. And just like watching a community sort of come together around a book is such a special thing. You know, just seeing even like to the level of like your local book club, like I think that's such a special thing. And I think that books kind of have a magical way of almost being like a shortcut to like deeper friendships. And I know I experienced this with my book club. It's like we talk about things that never would come up among this particular group of people if we didn't have a book or a story to talk about.
Thank you so much for being so generous with your time today. We appreciate it.
Always happy to support public radio.
Find an extended version of that conversation at WBOI.org. More news in a moment.
This music was composed by Jackson Garrett, a student of Canterbury School. You heard it here on WBOI.
Here's what to know for today. Fort Wayne City Council heard nearly 2 hours of public comment Tuesday about a proposed homeless resource center at 331 East Washington Boulevard. Governor Mike Braun will further extend a pause on Indiana's gas and excise taxes in an effort to keep Indiana gas affordable. And Bloomington beekeeper Joe May says the honeybee population is stable following the 2025 mass die-off that the USDA reported killed more than 60% of commercial bees. That's Who and What for Friday, June 5th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbruck. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great weekend.